Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
And so I sat by the fireplace and prayed and listened, and he actually gave me a message for tonight. It's been in my spirit. It's been coming forth for months. And as I was just sitting in his presence, which I love to do, I love to enter that place of rest in him where, you know, because let's be honest, you know, God sowed his son, you know, in the beginning, we're created in God's image, but because of the fall of man, when Adam sold out to the enemy, we lost our rights and our citizenship of fellowship, of walking in the cool of the day in the garden. And if you go to Genesis, you'll understand that. And so, But he sent his son, he sowed a seed, a man born of no corruption or sin into the earth so that we could be redeemed from the curse of the law. That's good news. And so because of that seed sown, he said, I got to go, but I'm sending you the comfort of the Holy Spirit who will guide you and lead you into all truth. And so last night when I was sitting in the presence, I was being led and guided into all truth. And I like that. Sometimes I just like to sit and just worship the King of Kings because he's so awesome. Did you know that you can have relationship with God this side of heaven on earth? Did you know that we're created in his image? That he loves us where we're at? He never, never condemns us. There's some people in here that are struggling tonight with the love of the Father. Some of you think that he's mad at you. I've got really good news. He's not. That's the enemy sowing discord. That's the enemy sowing seeds of doubt. See, you're created in the very image of God. God made you perfect. Yes, your flesh stinketh. We know that. But God created you in his image. And when he looks at you, he doesn't look at you in your flesh nature. He looks at you in himself. He sees himself and who he created you to be, which is, by the way, royalty. You're an heir to the promises. You're an heir to the King. And some of us need to learn. It's called the walk of the Spirit. Some of us need to learn how to fellowship and have relationship with Jesus, Father God, and the Holy Spirit. And that is what Jesus was sown for. That's why God sowed that seed, his son, into the earth so that we could have redemption, so that we could have the fullness now, this side of heaven, so that when we go to heaven, we don't go, oh man, was that all I could have had? I wish I would have known. I'm telling you tonight, God created you for fellowship and intimacy. He created you in love to be in love with him. And that's his first priority, always. His first priority is you. He cares so much about every detail of your life. There's no need to fret, but just come to him as a child. Seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean? Well, first you have to seek him. And those who seek him find him. That's good news. He doesn't hide behind, you know, a billboard. He doesn't hide under the bed. He's always waiting for you to say, Jesus. And when you call out to him, he's there. And see, he created us with free will. He will never override our will. He will always back a seat to our will. But when you say, Father, help me, he's there. When you say, Jesus, he's there. When you say, Holy Spirit, help, he's there. That's a marvelous, marvelous truth. And God is calling us deeper tonight. He's calling us into true fellowship and true relationship. And some of you are having trouble with that because you're living a sinful life. Now, I'm not here to call you out or cast you out. I'm here to bring you into truth. God wants to forgive you, but you have to say, help. Here I am again, Lord. Help. I've struggled. Here I am again, Lord. I do the things I don't want to do. Help me. And he will help us. And so the message that I have, it's been brewing for months, I think since September. So, and how did it come about? Asking questions. See, God delights when we ask him the questions of our heart. And I was in a, you know, I travel a lot, and we did the Colorado month of September, and so we preached in a lot of churches, and we saw a lot of things. We saw a lot of good things, we saw a lot of bad things, and we saw a lot of God things. And we focus on the God things because the good things and the bad things are all of the flesh, and the Bible says they're going to burn up anyway. It's rust and mold and moth, and it's dead works. But anything birthed out of the Spirit is a holy work, and it'll stand the test of time. And so God is calling us to that place of intimacy with him where we understand how to walk on earth, rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. And so I'm preparing us because I believe that this is going to be more than one night message. I feel like this is probably the month of December, I don't know. We only have 3 meetings here this month on Wednesdays, so I don't know how it's going to go. But as I was praying last night, you know, I'm bothered by some of the stuff I see. You know, those of you that know me, I'm a seer. I see in the spirit. Yes, I see demons. Yes, I see angels. Yes, I see all kinds of stuff. Don't ask me what you look like. Go to Jesus and ask him, and he'll say, you look like me, meaning him. I created you in my image, he'll say to you. You know, and yeah, we all are in a work, and we're in a progress, and God is bringing us into the true north, the trueness in him, where we will wield the sword of truth and stand against the schemes of the enemy. See, the enemy rules this earth realm because of the fall. But we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of truth when we said yes to Jesus. You know, some of us call that the sinner's prayer. And I know everybody in here has said that. So, but I'm telling you, there's more. There's the more. And I'm after the more in God. And many of you know my story and some of you don't. I had an amazing encounter with God. I met Jesus. And when you meet Jesus face to face, it's going to wreck you. And it wrecked me. And my whole life was challenged and all my beliefs and everything were challenged. And I said, I know nothing. I know nothing. Lord, I'm asking you to teach me. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. And he has. Do I have it? No. Am I on my way? Yes. And so he has called me to share the good news. And so that's what I'm sharing tonight. And tonight, this may not sound like good news. So I'm just saying that up front because we're going into the book of James tonight. And for those of you that know James, hallelujah. At least, you know, it could be worse. No. But here's the thing. God cares so much for each one of you and the struggles in your heart that he is releasing keys tonight. And so right now, I pray that every person in here receives the Spirit of Truth, receives the questions of their heart, where they're able to understand in such a simple way as an A, B, C, how to connect with the heart of the Father and how to walk out of sin and how to grow closer in relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's my prayer for you tonight. That's what I release right now. And by the Spirit of the living God, we open up ourselves. We yield completely to the Spirit of the living God, the one true God. No false God, no idols, no demonic forces are allowed to operate in this room tonight. We yield completely to the Holy of Holies, the Holy Spirit, Father God, and Jesus Christ. And so as we do that, I am expecting some cobwebs to blow away, some false thinking to fall away, and truth to rise. And you know me, I preach simple messages. I'm not into the big words. I skip over them. I always have. And so God's going to teach us tonight in such a simple way, we can't walk out without it. And that's my prayer for you tonight. I care deeply about every one of you in here and the struggles that you're going through. Not all of you are in struggles, but there's going to be a day. And how are you going to get through it? There's going to be a day when you're going to have to call on the name of Jesus to overcome your situation. And why not learn it before you're in a struggle or in a battle? And so this all came about, and I believe it's a season that we're in right now. So you could call this prophetic, a prophetic deliverance. But I believe we're in a season where God is challenging us and our compromises that we continue to make willfully and unwillfully. Whoa! So I'm just going to say that right now. God wants us to come in, come away from that stuff, and get razor sharp. And let me just be the first to say it. He confronted me. He challenged me with where I'm at and where I'm heading and what's the delay. And I'm going to tell you something. Oftentimes we're like, waiting on God. Well, actually, he's given us authority to rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. So God's usually waiting on us to speak the word of truth out loud because life and death is in the power of the tongue, and it says choose life. And so how do you win a war? Choosing life, by speaking the word of God out loud. And many of us don't even understand what the word of God is about or who we are in the word. And God is shaking off the dust tonight. And so I just want to release, this is not a condemnation message. This is a message of love and truth and encouragement. And so as I was I've been praying. I've seen some disturbing things in the body of Christ, and the body is just ignoring it. And I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't understand. What? Why are you showing me this stuff? And I've had many prayer assignments to pray through and expose and dismantle. And for those of you who are prayer warriors, you know what I'm talking about. And God is calling us higher. Some of you are prayer, intercessory prayer warriors, and you're a little flabby in the spirit because of busyness. Now, I'm not ushering correction. I'm ushering life if you receive it. Now, if you receive this by correction, you're operating out of the wrong spirit. And ask the Lord to show you his truth, and he will always shower you with his blessings and love. So if you're feeling condemnation when this is released, that's the enemy trying to steal what God's trying to release and put in. So what do you do with that? I bind that in the name of Jesus. I forbid you to operate. And it has to obey you. And if it's your own, if that's a dart, if it's your own thought, submit your thoughts to the Lord. Submit your emotions to the Lord. Submit your will to the Lord. And how do you do that? Emotions, shut up. I'm believing what the Word of God says tonight. And then you speak what the Word of God says. And what happens is it actually replaces what your emotions, that place in your heart where your emotions are. See, the Word of God is designed to, it's like a mirror. It's designed to shine on our hearts so that we can see what's in our hearts. Not so you can see what's in my heart or that I can see what's in your heart. It's not about that. It's so that we see where we need to call on the grace of God to overcome in a time of need. That's what it's all about. And so I'm going to read from James, and I'm not going into the details of what I'm seeing in the body of Christ. Just look in the world. There are many churches that are on fire for God, but there are many that are man-made works of the flesh that are corporations that are only about churning numbers and dollars. And I don't know how it got to that, but that was not God's original intent. His original intent was garden state relationship. And that's what his heart desires. You don't need to go to a building to have relationship with the Father, the Son, or the Holy Spirit. You don't need that. You don't need to go to Facebook. You don't need to go to what Google says. And I'm going to tell you, this may sound funny, but do you know how many people Google what God says about something? I'll never forget the day I heard the message many years ago when Holly preached about. And I didn't know who the missionary was, but I later read the book not that long ago, if I can remember the name of it. I Am a Godly Man. What's it? It's about that Chinese guy that was tortured. Nope. Yep, I think that's it. Yeah. Awesome book. Where Heavenly Man. I Am a Heavenly Man. Yeah. He tortured, and he would yell, "I'm a heavenly man." You know why he was being tortured? And one of the things in this, it's a true life story, and it's with the communism and the Chinese. You know, they don't. You are not allowed to worship Jesus Christ in China. You're still not openly, and they'll kill you or they'll imprison you and then brainwash you, and so anyway, how they would find out where the meetings were. And then they'd have to travel in the dark into the woods to find the meetings, house meetings. And the Holy Spirit would ask the Holy Spirit, "Where's the meeting tonight?" And he would tell them, "Go to such and such woods." And then there would be an angel guiding them with the light and showing them, not all the time, because if they were seen by the police and the military, they'd be brutally beaten and then imprisoned. And so the light would just shine for a split second so that they could find their way to the meetings. I remember hearing that story and thinking, I need to develop the gift of listening to the Holy Spirit, because what if they cut the phone lines? What if they cut the internet? What if we're not allowed to meet anymore? I need to know what the Holy Spirit is saying, because he'll guide me into all truth. And so I feel like we're in a season where we're like this against the world system and our walk with Jesus. And I'm praying for the body of Christ to put on their big girl pants and big boy pants and tighten up their belt and start walking and exercising in truth. And so, you know, intercessory prayer is huge. I'm telling you, it is one of the most powerful things you can do is pray in the Spirit. And there's so much junk out there to try to get you not to do it that the enemy has sown because it's so powerful. I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit what he has to say about it. And then I challenge you to go to the Word, and it'll show you in his Word how valuable that tool is that he released to us. And so this is a call to rise up, intercessors, and come back into the fullness. Come back to your first love, so to speak. You know, when we met Jesus, most of us, you know, we said the sinner's prayer, and there was a radical change, a life moment change in our lives where we were like, yes, that, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I've been forgiven, and that he was raised from the dead 3 days later. And then we kind of cap it there, and that's good enough. You're going to heaven now. But that's just the very beginning of everything that he has for us. And so I'm asking the Lord to show us tonight the more. Because when you said yes to Jesus, you actually exercised your faith, the gift of faith. You exercised that faith. And every day we have choices to exercise our faith. And so I'm challenging you tonight not to miss this. I'm challenging you tonight to ask the Holy Spirit for the keys you need. Not all of us will receive the same keys in the Spirit. We'll not all receive the same wisdom and revelation because we're all at different levels in God. But God has something for every one of us in here, and I pray you receive it tonight. And so as I was sitting last night, I'm like praying about, we have a very busy weekend coming up, and I'm praying for the meetings and the services and just praying in the Spirit. And the Lord says to me, I want you to teach on James tomorrow night. And I'm like, James 1? He's like, James 1. I'm like, okay. So I pull out James 1, and I'm reading. I'm like, uh-huh, amen, amen, yep, yep. I didn't get any more. And I'm like, okay. Well, I know James 1 kind of goes with what he's been telling me for months. And so then today, right before I'm leaving, he gives me this download. Now, I don't know why he couldn't give it to me last night, but he didn't. Here's how it works. He knows who's here tonight, and he knew who was coming, and he knew who got taken out and should have been here. But he does this adjusting because he wants everyone to hear what they need to hear. He's always talking. All we have to do is listen to that still small voice inside of us. That's the Holy Spirit, usually, unless it's our subconscious or our conscious, that's different. So here's the thing. He starts talking to me about all this, and so I just kind of quickly wrote it down. And so I'm like, Lord, I'll deliver whatever you have, however you want me to do it. And so my notes are all over the place, as usual, because that's, you know, how it is with me. So I'm going to read James 1 to you, and I want to talk because I know there's people in here who are cycling in the same trial, and they can't seem to get free. Do you struggle with temptation? Are you struggling with addiction, pornography, anger, backsliding, resentment, finances? I know your answer. I know him. His name's Jesus. And some of us would rather go to Google and Google, how do I get out of debt? How do I know how to know Jesus? How do I deal with these anger issues or temptations? The Word of God is the sure word. It's true. It can never lie. Google will lie. Google will lie. And did you notice Google? Here's what I've noticed with Google. You can type in something and you know the answer and you type it in and they'll give you a bunch of stuff that's not related to it because they don't want you to know the truth.
Not only that, there's no relationship with
Google. Oh, I'm having a funny thought about the Wizard of Oz. Okay, so one of the things the Lord told me is that many of us are going through trials. Oh, trials. Who likes trials? Raise your hand if you like trials. Don't like them.
No.
Trials, trials, trials. Everywhere we go. Okay, here's what the Word of God has to say. What, you want to hear about Google's version of trial, or you want the Word of God? I'm kidding. So this is what the Lord told me today. As you know, and I've been reading this and reading it and pondering and praying. And like I said, I don't have the full picture, but I feel like I'm pushing us through to a new level in God. of new authority and freedom, if we can grab this. And you know, one of my jobs is to, he didn't get the memo. One of my jobs is to help people grow closer in relationship with Jesus. That's one of my assignments on earth. So this is the book of James, chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Here we go. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Now, I'm just going to stop there, and I'm sure you are thinking, I just had this happen. I'm just going through this. I don't understand why this has happened to me. You know, okay. So, have you encountered various trials? Okay. Here we go. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. What does that have to do with trials? I'm glad you asked. Okay, so you all can think of your trial, right? You're like, you know, maybe it's a physical healing. Maybe it's, it could be anything. There's a bazillion different trials that people go through. And so I just want to share with you, this is what it continues to say. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Okay, so first of all, I just want to point out, if you're in a trial and you're doing this, when is this going to end? How come this always happens to me? If this is faith, I don't think I want it. How come so-and-so walks this perfect life and nothing ever happens to them? So if you're in a trial, we need to deal with trial and look at it from a different angle. We're going to look at it from not from the flesh, where that's where most people stay, and they just battle through, try to endure. When you try to endure in that measure, that's false endurance. That is actually the counterfeit. That's actually flesh, and that's not going to work. But I got to talk to you about endurance. You know, some of us think endurance, I'm going to, you know, I'm training, I'm enduring. I'm going to tell you what God's word says about it. It says, and let endurance have its perfect result. Does that sound like it's, I got to, you know, I'm scraping my knuckles going through this. I'm going to have to do push-ups. I'm going to have to, you know, go to church 10 days a week, blah, 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 to get through that. No, it says, let endurance have its perfect result. Well, how can that be? I'm going to tell you why. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So here's the thing. If you're going through a trial, the enemy, I can guarantee you, the enemy is trying to do this to you. Nanner, 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 you're in a trial. Nanner, 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 it's never going to get better. Seeds of doubt, seeds of doubt. Word of God says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So right there, that's a key to change the position of our heart. Instead of agreeing with the enemy that this is bad, it's always going to be bad, why is this happening? You'll stall like an airplane. You'll never land into the promised field, okay? So did you know that verse 4, and it says, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's a promise from God. That's what we need to focus our eyes on. The promise from God, not the struggle, not the temptation, but what does the promise of God say about this? And they're full of, if you want to cheat, go to Deuteronomy 28 and look at the blessings. There's a lot of promises in God right there, and that's Old Testament. So, but if any of you lacks wisdom, well, if you're looking at this from an earthly perspective, you lack wisdom. Let me just tell you. Let me make it plain. You lack wisdom. But here's the good news. Let him ask of God. Not Google, not your friend, not your spouse. Go to God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It doesn't say, go to God and he may answer you. Go to God and if you pay him enough money, go to God and you know, maybe if he's in a good mood. None of that. Go to God and if he didn't notice that sin you did, it doesn't say any of that. It says, go to God who gives to all generously, not stingy, generously, and without reproach. You know what that means? He doesn't look at your sin. He doesn't look at your stumble and your problem. He looks at who he created you to be. And he wants you to see who you are in him. And so I hear him saying, come up higher. Now here is where most people quit. But, there's always a but, huh? But when there's a but, there's a promise. If you do this, you get that. Here's a but. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, you know, I can preach this because I lived it. I remember the day when my foundation that I built, man-made built, started to crumble and crack, and eventually it fell apart, and I watched my little boards float out to sea because my house was not built on the foundation of God, because I didn't know about him. I just did the best I could. So here's the cool thing. While I'm like an expert in this field because I doubted for so long, you know, I can recognize doubt in myself, and he's shown himself proof, he's proven himself true so many times, I don't have any doubt with him anymore because I've had so many opportunities to exercise this trial with him. I have been through so many trials that I could not live with if it wasn't for his wisdom and revelation. And so, did I get it right all the time? Absolutely not. But here I am again, Lord. Here I am again, Lord. You got to help me. See, double-mindedness is it's crippling our development in God. I do believe, but help my unbelief. That's where the grace comes in. But double-mindedness, that's the enemy. He's trying to get us to, we say the promise of God, here I am, Lord, I come to you, I need help. And then he tells us something, the Lord will say, all you have to do is speak the scripture or do this, do that. And it's never for performance, but it's always for victory and breakthrough. But then the enemy whispers, did God really say that? Can you hear the voice of God? Surely you look nuts. They must be thinking crazy thoughts about, you know, stuff like that. Seeds of the enemy. That's when the double-mindedness comes in. I'm going to give you a little trick, okay? What helped me, you know, I look at it this way. Our flesh is flabby and like a spoiled child. It always is, give me, give me, give me. I want, and it's never satisfied. Just like a two-year-old. You give in to a two-year-old, they only ask for more. You change their diaper once, they want it again. You know. I'm talking about some of the brothers and sisters, hallelujah. But anyway, I and myself. But here's the thing. God has given us the ability to overcome our flesh. Not by works and not by performance, but by his spirit. So we have to connect to him in the spirit. Well, how do we do that? Lord, I don't know how to do this. I'm asking you to show me. Here we go. Let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It doesn't say it may be or it could be. It says it will be. And so our faith needs to be exercised. And it's an opportunity to discipline the flesh. And you know, there's this war that goes on. It's the battle of the flesh and the spirit. I do want the pleasure, but Lord, I want you. That's double-mindedness. I do want to go do this, but Lord, I know that your word says I shouldn't do that. Double-mindedness. You know, and Paul talks about it with unbelief and the struggles of sin. So there's grace there, but there's more. There's the more of going after God. And I'm going to read a couple scriptures that I happen to just get real quick. Proverbs 23:26 says, my son, give me thine heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. See, when you give God your heart, that's all he wants. He doesn't care about your money, how you look, your kids, anything. I mean, he cares about them, but not the way we do. He cares about your heart and your condition of your heart. Out of the heart, life flows. That's like the stream. And so if it's dirty and polluted, it's going to produce rotten fruit. And you're going to do stupid stuff. And God's called you overcomer. Now, we can't See, this is where the problem is. People get this message and they go, I'm going to do it. But then they do it in the flesh. In your flesh profits nothing. If you could do it, you would have by now. There's a better way. It's the high road to success. It's called the walk of the Spirit. You have to connect your spirit to the Spirit of the living God. And when you do that, all you do is say, Lord, I was saved, born again, but I want the more. What is the more? Show me the more. And see, he won't give you a stone. He won't give you a snake. He'll give you himself because he's waiting for us to come to him in a greater measure. You know, I don't understand. Help me. When you do that, he answers the questions of our hearts. And if you don't hear his voice yet, he'll give you a dream. He'll put it on a billboard. He'll cause you to hear it on the radio. You might hear a conversation, and there's the key. And so God's telling us that there's a way to get free from the spirit of compromise. Now, I started to talk about how I do it, and I can tell you, I can gauge my spiritual meter when I look in the mirror, you know. And most of us don't want to look in the mirror. Now, I don't do it to condemn myself. I do it to say, Lord, how am I doing today? What's up? And one of the ways I tighten my flabby fleshly muscles is I like to fast. And now fasting is painful. Who likes to deny themselves a good ice cream cone or a hot steak or a family meal? But I'm telling you something. Sometimes it's good to deny the flesh because the spirit muscles rise up. We can train our spirit muscles to grow so strong and accurate. If you need breakthrough, start fasting. Start fasting and praying in the spirit. Watch what happens. Doors open. So God is saying to us, he's calling us deeper, and we're like, I don't know how to do it. And so fasting works wonderful. How do you fast? Well, you deny yourself. Let's just say you like to eat candy a lot or something. You say, you know what, I'm not going to eat candy today. Now, you don't just say it. You say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to subdue my flesh and teach me how to stand stronger in my spirit muscles. And he'll show you how to do it. And then when temptation knocks on your door, just like a two-year-old, I'm hungry. Feed me. No, you're not eating today, flesh. I'm disciplining you because I'm growing my spiritual muscles. And it'll shut up for an hour, and then it'll knock again. I'm hungry. Feed me. And you say, you know, thank you, Jesus. I give you all the glory. I know you're helping me overcome my flesh. Flesh, shut up. Because it's just thoughts. Shut up. I'm believing the word of God. And then it'll back off a little bit. And then about 2 hours later, think of a screaming two-year-old about to have a temper tantrum. And for those of you who fast, you know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And here's the thing. Use this to train yourself. I don't know if I can go here. Lord, yes, okay. Use this to train yourself with the thoughts and sin patterns in your life. If you can train your spiritual muscles in an area that it doesn't have a stronghold on you, you can build off that for the strongholds in your life. If you struggle with pornography and addiction, you can beat that stuff by disciplining your flesh and calling on your spirit man to rise above your flesh. And then you're walking in the spirit and you can go, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. And then it go, if it's a demon or a spirit, it leaves. And if it's just you, it gets suppressed and it's no longer an issue. But I'll tell you what, as you learn to fast, you know, 4 hours is in and that thing is screaming, 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 I'm hungry, Jam, I want to eat. And you say, no, I'm not doing that. You can bet it's going to say, I'm going to call DCF on you because you're being mean to me. It doesn't give up easily. And I'm saying this jokingly, but it's true. You know, and then let's just say by God's grace, you're able to overcome your flesh. And you're like, okay, I'm fasting. I'm in day one. And it could be any kind of fast. It could be liquids. It could be whatever. You know, whatever. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. Okay, maybe you're doing a two-day or a three-day or a seven-day or a 40-day, whatever it is. But I'll tell you what, the enemy will not give up because he knows your breakthrough brings the power of the living God on earth. And that's what he's afraid of. And so this battle that we talk about, that James is talking about, these trials, they're there to help us build endurance in our spiritual muscles, not our fleshly muscles, and some of us get confused on that. Trials are to help us grow in the promises of God. They're not punishments. They're actually to bring the result of victory and freedom. And there's a place in God where you can learn to walk above the trials of God, where you laugh at them. And then what happens is they can't hook into your soul. And that's the ultimate freedom right there. When a trial comes, you didn't even know it was a trial because it couldn't hook. See, it's looking for woundings in our soul to hook to so it can torment us and bring us down into the alley of, you're never going to get this right. It's always going to be this way. Defeat. Defeat comes from the enemy. It's not of God. It never was. He offers to defeat the enemy for us, and he already has, but it's up to us to enforce the victory. Does that make sense to you? So I'm going to go a little deeper if you can handle this. Revelations 3:15. I know your deeds. You are neither cold nor hot. How I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. That's Jesus talking. The body of Christ talking to. He's talking to us. Are we lukewarm? Are we hot or are we cold? And I'm not looking. That's between you and him. But there's a way to the truth in God. There's a way to the grace in God. There's a way to victory. And it's all you have to do is say, help me, Jesus. I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. You got to help me overcome this obstacle. You got to help me overcome the flesh. And then help me to use the keys that are released. Help me learn to grow and use the keys. I'm going to tell you something. I'm seeing that scripture where I might even have it. I don't know if I do. I don't have it on here. It's like the man who looks at himself in the mirror. Here's, yeah, is that in James? That's probably further down because we're going there. We're going to be in James until when? But it's like that. I think it's James 4, where here's what I see in the body of Christ. You hear a great message. You watch a great YouTube. You Google and watch somebody's live message, and you're like, yeah. But what happens after that? Do you have head knowledge? Or do you have heart knowledge, revelation knowledge? And if it's revelation knowledge, where's the fruit? Where's the victory? Now, I'm not saying that to like cause problems or make anybody stumble, but I'm challenging you to look in the mirror and remember who you are. You were created in the image of God. Some of us are measuring our image off of what our parents have told us, what our friends have told us, what our spouses have told us. That's not who you are. You were fearfully and wonderfully created, made in the image of God. He knows every hair on your head. He knows the lint in your belly button. He knows the ingrown toe that causes you problems at night. He knows it all. He's the creator of all. And he's saying, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me and I will show you life. Come to me. But we don't do it. We think we're doing it, but we don't do it. What is the problem? Where is the block? It's double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I do the things I don't want to do. What a wretched man I am. God's challenging us. See, here's what's happened. You want to know about the spirit of compromise? I don't even like to speak this because I don't want to speak it out. Some, I'm going to say, have been lulled by the convenience of technology. Technology is wonderful, but it's like a double-edged sword. We have been trained to know something in less than 30 seconds. Do you remember when it used to be just McDonald's? When you can get a cheeseburger or a Happy Meal in 5 minutes or less instead of cooking one? How many of us get mad when our Starbucks isn't instantly ready when we show up? How many of us get mad when our orders are messed up and we have to wait another minute? Aren't those opportunities to exercise our spirit muscles? What's God saying? See, I'm worried about the lulling of the body of Christ. I'm worried about the condition. If we can't wait 2 minutes to hear an answer, 30 seconds, what's that doing to our brains? How do we overcome that? We go to God and we sit in His presence. And I'm going to tell you something. If you haven't done that, you're going to be twitching like you need a fix. You'll be twitching like you need to check your phone. I'm not kidding. I've had to battle it myself. It's sly and subtle. It comes in slowly. A little here, a little there. What does that sound like? Leaven. Now, I'm not saying quit Facebook, and I'm not saying quit Google, but I'm saying we need to start becoming aware of how much time we're spending with the Creator of the universe, who cares so much about us, who parted the sea, who raised His Son from the dead, created us in His image. And yet we're like, what's Google got to say? What's so-and-so doing on Facebook? Now, I'm not saying you can stay there if you want, but God's showing us a path to holiness and righteousness that He provided. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. We just have to pay attention. See, He's challenging us to be single-focused. Now, we're so used to doing 7, 10 things at once, and we pride ourselves in how great we can do that. But are you doing that with God? I'll get back to you, Lord. Yeah. You know, it's like a snowball. A little, and the next thing you know, we're out of control, and we're like dry, barren land. Where's God? What happened? How did I get so far out of His presence? Are we recognizing that we're not even in His presence? Some of us aren't. Some of us are. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. His mercy's so great, it even trumps that. If we have been lulled by technology, if we have been caught up in addiction or sin or works or busyness or whatever, I'm going to tell you something about idolatry. It brings a curse. It always has, and it always will. Throughout time, God will have no other gods before Him. This is a tough message tonight. You know how a parent disciplines his kids? And they grow up respectful. And then you see some who never discipline, and their kids are so crazy and off the wall and frankly demonic. There's a picture there somewhere. Discipline is good, but not discipline by the flesh, by man, through condemnation. Discipline in love is always good. When it hurts to discipline, that's good. Now, I'm trying to deliver the heart of the Father without my flesh and without my opinion, because the Lord told me I don't have to have an opinion. I'm His ambassador. We're all ambassadors of Christ. We don't get an opinion. We have to say what the Word of God says. And God is challenging us to stop bowing to the knee of the idols. Stop bowing the knee to Baal and just... Is He Lord or isn't He? Who's going to stand up for the King of Kings? Who's going to declare truth into this earth? If we don't, who will? There's an agenda coming against us. It's a snowball, but it's not too late. Do you remember when Elisha commanded it not to rain for
3.5 years?
Thank you. We have authority in earth. We need to grow our spiritual muscles and hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to do. Not what we think. We don't get the opinion, remember? When we said yes to Jesus Christ, we lost our ability to have an opinion. But we gained all of heaven on earth. But we have to learn how to pull it in and speak it out. And then watch the Red Sea part. So, who's in a trial? Who's going to change how they look at trial? Who has opened their eyes of the schemes of the enemy and have said no more? Who has said, help me, Holy Spirit. Help me figure this out. I got a ball of mess in front of me. Help me walk in this out in truth. If we can learn to open the word, start speaking the word out loud, it trains our brain of what God's word says and what is truth, and then we're able to recognize the schemes. See, if somebody came up to you and said, you know, I'm just going to keep this so generic that it doesn't cause controversy. The sun is green when it sets at night. And you'd be like, huh. But what does the word of God say about that? See, we have to learn what the word of God says and then believe. It's the surer word. It never lies. And see, because the agenda of man and the demonic forces are trying to get us to kneel to the agendas of deception. And the first step is we have to wake up to our own deception in our hearts. Where are we at? What area do you need to work on? I'm going to tell you something. Whatever it is, here's the answer. This is the answer. Now, this would be the one time when I would say Google's probably cool. If you're struggling with depression, you could go Google. Scriptures on depression, you know, and then it'll take you to a spot where, into like a Bible app, where you can then learn the word and follow along like a puzzle, you know. But I wouldn't Google and then follow what Google says, except if it points you to the word of God. If Google's not pointing you to the word of God, let every man be a liar. So I just want to check and make sure that I said I didn't. I'm like, so God's talking about living a balanced life. We have family, we have friends, we have work, we have, you know, jobs, projects, vacations, retirement, kids. How do we do this and walk in balance? One of my favorite scriptures in Matthew. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And right before that, he's talking about not to worry. You know, the birds have enough to eat. Everything's going to be fine. He takes care of it all. But first, seek him. If you show up, seek first the kingdom of God. How do you do that? Here I am, Lord. I don't know how to do it. What do I do? He'll find you a way. And if you don't hear it that first second, that's okay. Write it down. You got questions of your heart? Write them down. He'll answer them. He always does. And if you can't hear his voice, he'll figure out a way that somebody will speak it. And it'll be truth. And you'll know it. It'll be like a ting in your heart. You'll be like, oh, that was the Lord just spoke that. Through so-and-so. I love when that happens.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.